Something we're going to do for this year too, we're, you know, kind of stirring my heart is we just encourage everybody to get a one-year Bible, you know, and we just want to encourage folks to, we want to really try to emphasize this year is just to everybody get a one-year Bible. There you can get some cheap like paperbacks and there's, you know, we just want to encourage folks just to go through the Bible this year. Starting in January, you know, it's really cool. You can take a one-year Bible, and Adrian and I use it at the ministry there, and I normally just read from my Bibles, different study places, but I just want to encourage everybody, just take a one-year study Bible, and I'm pretty sure you can find, you know, if you don't have one, you can probably find one, pick it up pretty cheap, and just go through it, and every day, there's going to read a little bit of Old Testament, a little bit of New Testament. Some of them have we have some Proverbs and some Psalms in there. Excuse me. And just amazing how much different you're going to change just by getting the word filtered through you. You know what? And how many things, yeah, just how consistent it's going to be just getting the word in you. And like, because there are things like, for example, I've been in Genesis and some other places in Exodus. And we'll, you know, talk tonight about it, but kind of in my private time, and just how every time you read the word, it's like a different book. It's every time. It's it's a supernatural book. It's amazing. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, anyway, I just want to encourage you, we'll start at the beginning of the year, pick up just a one-year Bible, and we're going to go through that this year, and I think you're going to get blessed from it. Yes. Amen. Amen. So again, we're going to continue talking about overcoming fear. And also, too, not just overcoming fear, part two, but also, too, just kind of an outlook of, we're going to kind of examine, excuse me, some people in the Word tonight, but just about being an overcomer, too, you know, and looking at things. I think we as Christians, there's too many misconceptions about Christianity, and again, you know, we're spirit-filled, and I definitely believe in prosperity. But I think sometimes, too, what happens is the prosperity message gets a little convoluted is because we think that we're spirit-filled and we believe in prosperity, that we're never going to have to go through anything. Or that, you know, there's not going to be ups and downs. Well, Jesus had ups and downs. We're going to have ups and downs. But it's, again, when we have a, I like to call it an eternal perspective on things, everything becomes to have a balance, and it becomes more clear to us. And so, and I know there's a lot of junk going on in the world right now, a lot of uncertainty, there's a lot of political infighting, and a lot of things going on. But we look at James chapter 1, verse 2. James 1, 2, we'll start there tonight. And while you're turning there, you know, we have some things that, you know, tonight, we may have been good in the past, or we may have seen a downturn. But the Lord often delivers us from many things. And we may see some shifts in our life, but that doesn't mean that that's an end result. And when you read this scripture, you just begin to think of it in context of a temporary, right? Because when you read this scripture, too many people think that everything that they do is fatal, right? They make a mistake or something happens in life, then that's the end of it. We look at James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, and it says, "My brethren, count it all joy." Now, I'm going to read the King James. I'm going to read out Amplified because I like the portions out of both. There's some portions there that bring clarity to this. But the King James says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." I'm going to stop there for a moment. Now, just because you fall into diverse temptations, it doesn't mean it's your fault. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not, right? And it's easy to condemn yourself sometimes for where you're at in life or a situation happens, right? Now, often it is, you know, we do take personal responsibility of things. I remember being in a church sometimes and the church is like, it was always the devil's fault, right? The devil's after me. It's always the devil. Oh, it's the devil's at work. It's the devil's fault. It's like, well, sort of, but I mean, you know, they're just like, you can kind of shoot yourself in the foot sometimes, right? You just do dumb things. I've done that before. I look back and I'm thinking, man, that was dumb. And it's okay to make mistakes, but just don't want to go there again, right? I mean, you know, I just don't want to continue to do those things. But when you fall into diverse temptation, Knowing this, that the what? The trying of your faith works patience. I don't like that word patience, right? I do not like it. There's a, you know, I remember somebody talking about, Lord, I'm just praying for patience. Buddy, get away from me, all right? It's like every day I wake up out of bed, there's patience waiting for me, right? I mean, I don't have to ask for any patience. It's like, it's there. But it's what it is this is a context of everything's temporary. No matter what's happening in life, it's going to change. That's the only thing that's consistent in this life is what? Change. Change, change. And so I like the Amplified. It says, be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith brings out endurance and steadfastness and patience. Again, just because we're dealing with things, right? There are just things in life like inflation, the economy. This, I don't have anything to do with that. I mean, it's just, there's things that we're involved, like the sinful nature in this world. Of course, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but I didn't put everything into motion, right? So there's just some things, we just live in a hostile environment, and there's just things going on that, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean it's always, you know, your fault, but it's just things happening around us, right? And so, if we look at, we'll start in Genesis chapter 37, verse 3 and 4. But we can have joy in the journey, joy in the trials, because they're what? They're temporary. And there's one place that has no joy, and that's hell, because it's permanent. But we can have joy now, even when we're seeing challenges. And we're going to look at people tonight, spend a little bit of time looking at people that had challenges. We're also going to look at what they did and what God said about their situation in the situation. And so we're going to take a good look at Joseph, dig a little deeper into his life tonight. And then we see here in verse 3, Genesis chapter 37, this is the New Living Translation, it says, Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. Well, he was also born to the love of his life, Jacob's love of his life, right? And the woman that he truly loved, you know, he had to wait for her. And he ended up marrying her sister, and then he got her. So it was kind of like there was something special. And there's something special about Joseph. Now, we want to... So one day, Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph, a beautiful robe. Verse 4, but his brothers hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them, and they couldn't say a kind word to him. And in verse 18, let's skip down to verse 18. When Joseph's brothers saw him coming, they recognized him in the distance, and as he approached, they made plans to kill him. I want to stop there a moment. First of all, did Joseph have anything to do with this?
Yeah.
I mean, he said some dumb, all right, he's like, hey, but it's not really his fault. Meaning the favor on Joseph was not, it was because of his father Jacob, right? So this favor and this hatred and this jealousy that was towards Joseph had nothing to do with Joseph, but it was directed to Joseph, right? Go ahead and we've got three girls. So, you know, if you have multiple kids, go ahead and bring your kid, one kid home, a gift, and ignore the other three or the other kids, and then let's see how things work out, right? So we're seeing that Joseph is experiencing persecution and this hatred that he really doesn't have anything to do with. Now, I kind of blame he kind of said, hey, I had this dream and you all bow down to me and, you know. But before that, you know, Joseph was the baby of the family and he was all babied and, you know, sorry about the baby family. And if you're a baby in this, don't. But what I'm saying is he was favored and there was a hatred for Joseph that really didn't have anything to do with him, right? It was his dad, and it made it obvious, right? Gave him a gift, didn't include anybody else, right? And so we've got these things going on here. So sometimes people and circumstances may come against you, but it's not your fault, right? I've had situations in life where I lost a job a few times, right? Things have happened, and it's because outside of my control. Just come in, look, we're closing everything down. Well, you know, we can get into a pity party, or we can sit back and say, things are going to change. Well, we're going to find out what God has to say behind the scenario, behind the scenes here, which is very interesting. The dialogue that Moses here, Moses is the author of Genesis, what he says in the dialogue between the Lord and what's going on. Verse 23 and 24 of Genesis chapter 37, right? So while you're turning there, and again, sometimes we can do dumb things, but sometimes people are used by the enemy or they're in the flesh. And we can always take things. Now, I always evaluate myself sometimes when things happen and say, okay, is there something I'm involved with here? Or is there something that maybe I'm contributing? Is there something that, you know, I need to examine myself in? They're just people who just do not like me. And that's fine, right? Because of what, you know, when he speaks in tongues and he preaches this, and we don't like him because of what they believe and everything else too. It's like, you know, they don't take the time to find out what the scripture says. But again, that's not my problem though. See, I'm not going to take on those burdens of other people. Joseph, it's not his responsibility of how his brothers react to him, is it? And it's not your responsibility how people react to you. Again, sometimes, you know, people do things and they bring it on themselves. Verse 23, so when Joseph arrived, his brothers ripped off the beautiful robe that he was wearing. Then they grabbed him and threw him in a cistern. And now the cistern was empty, and there was no water in it. Verse 28, skip down to 28. So when the Ishmaelites, I like that how the Ishmaelites, isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? Let me finish this here. Who were the Midianite traders, came by Joseph's brothers, pulled him out of the cistern, and sold him to them for 20 pieces of silver, and the traders took him to Egypt. Now, who else was sold for silver? Jesus, right? Jesus was sold. If you study Joseph, Joseph's life is a precursor and a mirror of what Jesus is often. There's a lot of similarities between Joseph and Jesus, and often the interpretation of Joseph's name and Jesus' name are the same, and Joshua. So what we see here is we're seeing, I want to see here too, the Ishmaelites were the illegitimate children of who? Abraham, right? The Ishmaelites. So we've got Joseph was sold to the illegitimate as a slave. We'll skip over to Genesis chapter 39, verse 1. We're going to get some interesting things now. Genesis chapter 39, verse 1. And I want to see here, you know, the situation Joseph's in, we're going to read here in just a moment, how God defines Joseph. If we study the word, we're going to see how God defines us right now, no matter what situation we're in, whatever situation we're in. Verse 1, it says, when Joseph was taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelite traders, he was purchased by Potiphar, an Egyptian officer. Potiphar was captain of the guard for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. So he's a very, very highly ranked individual in Egyptian society, right? Verse 2, here we go. The Lord was what? With Joseph. Wait a minute. Joseph doesn't have a big position. He's slave now. But the Lord's with him. And then it goes on and says, so he what? Succeeded. I don't think this is success. In my book, being a slave is not a success. But that's not what the Lord says. He says here, so he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. The King James says he was prosperous in everything he did. He was prosperous. Isn't it interesting how Joseph was in absolute, he was sold into slavery, but the Lord was with him, and God called him prosperous. And God called him a success, and he was a success, right? How many times you felt like in your life you don't, you know, there are times in your life, you know, you got these Joseph moments where you feel like nothing's going right, you know? But guess what? You're still a child of God, right? I mean, you're still blessed. Even though sometimes you're like, Lord, we need some finances. Lord, this is inflation. Lord, I mean, you know, you go to the grocery store or anything, it's like, whew. I don't do the grocery shopping, but I hear about it. So, Potiphar, here we go. We're going to dig in deeper. Potiphar, what? Noticed. Everybody say noticed. He noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. Joseph is a slave. God said, I'm going to prosper you and everything you touch, it's going to be wonderful. I mean, he's going to have success. His boss, his owner, sees and realizes that he is blessed, and there is something about Joseph that is, there's a blessing on him. There, he has success in everything he does. Verse 4, this pleased, everybody say pleased? Pleased Potiphar as soon as he made Joseph his personal attendant. He put him in charge of his entire household and everything he owned. From the day Joseph was put in charge of his master's household and property, here we go, the Lord began to bless Potiphar's household. What? Because of Joseph, right? Because of Joseph's sake. All of his household affairs ran smoothly, and his crops and livestock flourished. So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. With Joseph there, he didn't worry about a thing except for what kind of food to eat. So here we go. Number one, Joseph was prospered even as a slave. The Lord saw him not as a slave, right? I'm going to tell you something tonight. Lord doesn't see you in your certain situation. He sees you as a son or daughter of him, right? Which is what? Royalty. We see there in Romans, the 8th chapter, that, you know, that we are what? Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. We cry, Abba, Father. We are joint heirs with Christ, right? So when God looks at us, he doesn't see, you know, he does. He sees me, but he sees Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. Because we're joint heirs, right? And see, we've got a mindset that, you know, we're a slave. See, when God saw Joseph there, he didn't see a slave, he saw him prospered, right? He saw Joseph from the end, from the beginning. Does that make sense? And we're looking at this situation right now, maybe we're in, or we're just uncomfortable, what have you, but God is seeing us from the end, not from, I mean, he sees us as successful, as blessed, right? So we see Joseph, there's a gift on him. And guess who gave him that gift? It wasn't any person, any ability, no special book he read. It was the Lord gave him the ability, the anointing, the success, the favor, everything. And you know what? We as believers, as we're, and this is why I think we need to use our faith, and we need to be more in tune. That's why it's important that we, you know, study the word more and get our mind renewed with the things of God, is because we need to see ourselves in the light of what God sees us as, not what our certain situation is. Because you look at this whole thing and you're thinking, Joseph could have just given up. Woe is me. I'm going to go on welfare. I'm going to give up in life. I'm not going to do anything. But you read how Joseph is kind of a really remarkable person. It says the Lord was with him in good times and bad times, wasn't he? The blessings of the Lord were on Joseph, and they were visible to the heathens. They were visible to everyone else around him. God promoted Joseph wherever he was at. chapter 39, I'm going to just kind of hit some highlights here because we're not going to get through everything tonight. Verse 7, and I'm going to kind of run down this. Verse 7, we see Potiphar's wife was eyeing Joseph. Verses 12 through 19, Potiphar's wife lied about Joseph, but Joseph held on to his integrity. Verse 20, he was put in prison. And then that brings us to verse 21 through 23. Verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph in prison. Now the Lord's with him everywhere, right? He's with him in the pit. He's with him in, you know, Potiphar's palace. He's blessing him there, and he's thrown in prison, and the Lord's still with him. And what's he say here in prison? And showed him his faithful love. I was like, when I was at Rhema one time, one of the instructors says, you ever want to see a move of God? And then he went like this. He's like, there you go. Because what? The Lord's with us, isn't he? He's inside of us. No matter where we go, he's with us all the time. And so, and the Lord made Joseph a favorite with the prison warden. The guy is just can't just lose for losing, can he? I mean, it's like there is just, God has just made him a blessing the whole time, and it doesn't matter what Joseph does or what happens to him. It's just like, he's just like that Energizer bunny. He keeps a licking and keeps on ticking, doesn't he? Or whatever, that Timex or whatever. But it's just, God just keeps blessing him. And why? God does not view him as anything else. He views him as the ruler, an assistant ruler of Egypt, doesn't he? But guess what? Joseph just doesn't know that yet. And guess what? God's got amazing things for us, but you know what? We just don't know it yet. We got to tap into the Spirit, don't we? We're going to be able to reap those things. So, verse 21 again, but the Lord was with Joseph in the prison and showed him his faithful love. And the Lord made Joseph a favorite with the prison warden. What is this telling us so far? That no matter what area or what position or what status or no matter where we're at in life, God can still prosper us and we can still be blessed and we can still have good things and we can still have a communion with him. We can still have, everything can be great in our lives no matter what situation we're in. Verse 22, before long, the warden put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners and over everything that happened in the prison, and the warden had no more worries because Joseph took care of everything. Wow. The Lord's with him and caused everything he did to what? Succeed. I don't see Joseph crying about, now sometimes going, ugh, why is this happening to me? But the Lord is with him no matter what's happening, right? Prosperity is not about your position. It's about who's manifesting through us, isn't it? Right? And chapter 40. Let's go to chapter 40. We'll kind of move through these things. So chapter 40 we see here. We're not going to read this, but it's just going to give you a quick synopsis here. Joseph's in prison, and there's the butler and the baker have dreams. Joseph interprets them, and then he says, hey, remember me? And they said, oh, yeah, no problem. And then, oops, 2 years later, he's still in prison, right? And in Genesis chapter 41, verse 25. Genesis 41, verse 25. And we see Joseph here is brought before Pharaoh. He interprets Pharaoh's dream, and he says, hey, give me 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine, and tells him how to prepare, right? Where did that come from? It came from the Lord. And so we're seeing not only Joseph succeeding, but he has answers, doesn't he? He's able to, you know, give direction in his leadership there. Verse 40, and what? Pharaoh promoted Joseph to number two under him. Now, I want to stop here for a moment. There's two. Do you notice how Joseph was 30 years old when this happened? Who else was 30 when they started their ministry? Jesus, right? So we're seeing, you know, Joseph was sold for 20 pieces of silver. Jesus is sold for 30 pieces of silver. Joseph stepped into his actually divine calling to what? To rule and also to save his people from famine, right? And he basically saved the known world at that time, right? Because people would come all over, not just Egyptians, but everybody else. So he stepped into his ministry, an administrative ministry at age 30, and the same with Jesus. Jesus stepped in his ministry at 30 years old as well. So there's all of these similarities between Joseph and Jesus. So again, we've seen some things that, you know, may have been, you know, good in the past, and then things that may not seem good at times. Maybe we've seen downturns. But during all of these examples, we look at what? The tables are often changing, aren't they? Right? We're seeing, you know, Joseph is up one day and then down the next. But what is consistent through the whole thing is the Lord has a plan for Joseph that will succeed. Right? And no matter what we're going through, whether it's whatever challenges, we know that if we, and I like to say the eternal perspective, what's that mean? It means that our eternal perspective, we're going to end up with the Lord at some time, right? We're born again, we're saved. But from here to there, may go up and down. What's the end result? It's good. The end result is good. And so the prosperity message, again, you know, will tell us that, you know, we shouldn't have to go through adversity if we're righteous. But the thing is, there's consistent change. But the thing that doesn't change is God's with us. And we're blessed. And where he's going to see us through. And so, if you look at most biblical accounts, that's why it's important for us to read our Bibles, especially Hebrews 11, which is what we call the faith, the hall of faith. We call, you know, some of us call it the hall of faith. It goes through all of the people that, from Noah and Moses, all these people in the Bible, and talking about they had great faith, didn't they? And because of their faith, they had ups and downs, didn't they? Every single person in the Bible, they had ups and they had downs, right? I mean, you look at David, King David, what was he doing? I mean, he's just little, you know, he's tending sheep and he's doing these things. But then all of a sudden, he's chopping off the head of a 10-foot giant, right? And then what's happening next? He's running from Saul. He's running for his life, isn't he? And you know, his heart is knit to Saul's son Jonathan, and they have a close relationship. And you know, all of these things happen. So you're seeing, you know, David's flying high one day. The next day, he's running for his life. And then you know, then you see he eventually becomes king. Go Judah, and then he comes over Israel, and then, you know, we're seeing him at different times in, like, what is it, First Kings, or Second Kings there, where, you know, comes a Ziklag, and the, you know, Philistines come in, or the Hittites come in, and they take all their women and children, and then the next minute, they're, you know, all of his men are thinking about stoning him and killing him, because, how could this happen? And then what does he do? He's like, he goes and consults with the Lord. He asks the Lord for direction. And then what is it? The Lord says, I'll be with you. I'll take care of you. We'll go ahead and wife. And he goes out and everything was completely restored. No one was harmed. No one was touched. They got. So we're seeing this consistent up and down, right? And then we can't figure out in our lives, like, well, why is this happening? Why am I going through this? And why is this happening? Because it's like anything else. There's no testimony without a test. We've got to have tests. And I'm not praying for tests, right? I mean, I remember in school, you know, it's like, a test coming up. I don't like those. But that's why we come back to James. It says, count it all joy, right? When you fall into diverse temptations. Because the Lord sitting there going, I'm saying the same thing about you that I said about Joseph. And we can read James, the first chapter, and we can hear the voice of the Lord speaking over Joseph the same thing to us, right? Because those blessings just don't work on Joseph. Now, I'm not going to be second in command in Egypt anytime soon. But the point is, there's those concepts that are there that ring true, that are biblical truths, right? And I love it how even in the Old Testament, it talks about his love. And then we see that Joseph, so we're seeing all of this, and then we're seeing coming up where Joseph experienced all of this diversity, but guess what? He went through all of those things for the benefit of other people, right? I mean, it's like, you know, those of us, you know, we go to work every day. I don't just go to work every day for myself, do I? But it's for the benefit of other people, right? Those of you, you know, moms at home, you know, you're not just making meals for yourself, right? Probably wish you were, but. But you're doing it, Father. Everything we put our hand to, often it's for other people, isn't it? Right? Genesis chapter 46. We're not. So then we look at another cycle. So we see all these cycles in the Bible. We see Joseph's whole life was a cycle. David's life was a cycle. Moses' life was a cycle, right? Let me talk about Moses. I mean, here we got Moses, who was, you know, a Hebrew, a Levite, and then, you know, he was going to be born. They're going to kill all the Hebrew males of that time. And then, you know, he's, I mean, who's Moses? I mean, who are these people? And then we see, you know, then he gets in and he's got a life of luxury. And then what's he do? He murders an Egyptian because he gets this righteous indignation of, you know, Egyptians abusing the Hebrews. And then what's he do? Eventually he goes into exile and is in Midian. And then but the good thing is his father-in-law, Jethro, is pouring some wisdom into him along the way. And so then he's got to come back as this shepherd. And you read in the scripture, we'll read it here in a moment, the Egyptians did not like shepherds. They looked down on them, right? And it's amazing how, you know, Jesus was always referred to as a shepherd. We see in Psalms 91 and all these other scriptures in the Bible, it talks about Jesus as a shepherd. And so look at Genesis chapter 46, verse 34. Now, this is where Joseph's still alive. We'll probably end here in a few minutes, but Genesis 46, verse 34. And you look at all of this throughout Scripture, always things are always changing, right? But you know what? God's always turning things around for his people. Whatever the devil means for good, God will always, he always is turning things around. It may not be in their time frame, and it may not be in our time frame or the way that we think it should happen, right? But God is still faithful. And so Genesis 46, verse 34 says, "You must tell him, we your servants have raised livestock all of our lives as our ancestors has always done. When you tell him this," this is Joseph telling his family to tell Pharaoh, "he will let you live here in the region of Goshen." Here we go. "For Egyptians despise shepherds." Now, it's interesting that the world criticized the... Jesus was a carpenter. But it's one of those things the Bible compares Jesus as a great shepherd. He's a great shepherd, the pastor. I mean, it's all of these designations for Jesus. But how the world despised the thing that Jesus did. Because what's one of the things he said... My people are like sheep without a shepherd, right? Let's look at Genesis chapter 47, verse 6. And we're gonna kind of end here. So choose any place in the entire land of Egypt. Now again, Pharaoh's telling Joseph's family, okay, they said, hey, we're shepherds. And then he said, okay, you choose which land you want. I'll let you choose it. And then he says, give them the best land of Egypt. Let them live in the region of Goshen. And if any of them have special skills, put them in charge of my livestock too. Verse 27. Meanwhile, the people of Israel settled in the region of Goshen in Egypt. There They acquired property, and they were fruitful, and their population grew rapidly. Now, I want to stop here for a moment, and then we'll have to go in later. We just don't have time. During this time, the Hebrews prospered and were blessed, and the land that they were given was the best. Now, we just don't have time to go here tonight. I got way too much, but the land of Goshen, which the Bible talks about was the best of the land, became the worst when they were turned into slaves. And you see how the enemy turned the land of Goshen, which was the prime land, into a den of sorrow when they became slaves later on, when Joseph was gone. And then we all know how that eventually turned around, right? They ended up with walking out with the gold and the blessings, which, again, tonight we just don't have, Well, let's look at Exodus chapter 1, verse 6, and we'll kind of end here tonight, and then we'll go a little deeper. So again, Joseph went through all this other cycle. The Lord is with him, but there was a purpose and there was a plan, right? And then Joseph brought his family in, and then Pharaoh said, pick it out, what do you want? Goshen was the best of the land. Then the first part of Exodus, it says here, Exodus chapter 1, verse 6, and that in time, Joseph and all his brothers died, ending that entire generation. Here we go, verse 7. But their descendants, the Israelites, had many children and grandchildren, and in fact, they multiplied so greatly that they became extremely powerful and filled the land. Verse 8. Eventually, a new king came to power in Egypt who knew nothing about Joseph or what he had done. And verse 12. But the more the Egyptians oppressed them, the more the Israelites multiplied and spread, and the more alarmed the Egyptians became. So the Egyptians worked the people of Israel without mercy. They made their lives bitter, forcing them to mix mortar and make bricks and to do all the work in the fields. They were ruthless in all of their demands. So you see that cycle again. The devil comes in, and he's trying to oppress the people. See, we see that Abraham went to Canaan, had children. His grandson Jacob had 12 children, which were what we call the 12 tribes of Israel. We see Joseph was again sold into slavery, the Ishmaelites, which were the illegitimate children of Abraham. Ended up in Egypt, who were heathens. God used the righteous. He was on. He blessed Joseph. Saved not only Egypt, but also that entire region of the time. God's people came from Canaan back into, settled in Egypt, which was Goshen, which was the best of the land. While they were there, they were blessed. And then eventually, what? They turned Goshen into a slave pit. And God is not going to stand for it, is he? Now, again, it took a little longer. But eventually God, how many of you just feel like sometimes God, you think of God, you're like, okay, Lord, it's time. You can do this now, right? Okay, go ahead anytime now, Lord, right? Okay, just do it, God. It's always the perfect timing with him, isn't it? He's never late. He's never early. He's just right on time. I mean, my standard is like, you're late. Should have been done yesterday, 5 minutes ago. But I love this. As we close here, I want to read those one more time. It says, Genesis 39:2. It says, the Lord was with Joseph. So what? So he succeeded in everything that he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. I want to tell you that God, we are his children. He wants to bless us. He wants to prosper us. And I'm not talking about just money. I'm talking about with people and everything that we do. That I believe God is going to raise up people that are going to be blessed, not only blessed, but also to be able to impact people and to save lives. Because I am so glad that Joseph went from Canaan and ended up in Egypt because he saved people. And I believe that we're going to see people that God is going to raise up. We got young people that I'm so proud of in this church. And we're going to see people that, you know, God raise us up to give us witty ideas or inventions or businesses or just, you know, favor of some kind to be able to touch people. You know, I really believe there are people, there are things and subjects that are absolutely plaguing our nation, social issues that we haven't had people yet that have had a God gift to be able to explain things. There, I believe there are people, even in that realm, we see just in the book of Acts where, you know, Stephen got up and the religious folks, it says they gnashed their teeth and they stoned him, right? Because his words were anointed by the Holy Ghost. He had favor from God that he cut people to the bone because of his wisdom. Jesus, when he spoke, right? Solomon, when he spoke, the two women that had the, one had the two mothers, the one that had the dead baby and the other one was live, right? And what'd Solomon say? Oh, just cut it in half, give a half both. There's wisdom there. And Joseph had wisdom. Moses had wisdom from God. All of these things, God gave them wisdom and ability. And again, we just can't, that was way too much tonight to get into. But there's paths that we're looking at, that God is taking us up and down, but it's going to be a good process, right? Count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations. Why? There's what we call, we'll just kind of close with this, there's things we call in finances called cycles, right? And that just means sometimes you're going to have, you know, prosperity times, and there's like peaks and valleys and closures, all there's like four different types. But what it means is this, you know, people will complain, well, the economy's doing bad. You know what? Sometime it's gonna get better. Because it goes in cycle. You know, sometimes we can count it all joy, you know, I'm going through this, but guess what? There's gonna be an upside. God is going to bring us out of things. He's gonna bless us. We're gonna have anointing. Father, we just thank you tonight for your goodness and your mercy, Lord Jesus. No matter what we're going through, snowy roads, hungry bellies, whatever it is that we're dealing with. But God, you're the God of more than enough, Lord Jesus. And Father, you love us. Your compassion and your mercy is new every morning. And Father, I just thank you that everyone here is blessed and anointed. And Jesus, we thank you that we can call on the name of the Lord and we shall be saved. Amen. Amen. Jesus, you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And tonight we can say and proclaim your name. We believe tonight, Jesus, that you rose, that Father, you rose Jesus from the dead, and that Jesus, you are the Son of God, and we believe in our hearts and speak with our mouth tonight, Lord Jesus, and receive you in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Well, have a great week, everybody.